Welcome to Waypoint, a podcast for Americans. Finally, the media caters to you. We have decided to dedicate this podcast to this underrepresented demographic. I'm Jules, I'm the Game Master.
And I'm Dana Lexa, she, her, playing Longhorn, also she, her, and thank you. It's really nice to be seen for once.
Yeah, it must be nice that you're actually allowed to listen to one of these episodes.
Yeah, for once. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I'm JPG, he, him pronouns. I am playing Troubledore, the delinquent, also he, him pronouns. And as an American, I'm probably not because I'm also ethnic. So,
depending on who counts.
Yeah.
I'm Tess, she, her pronouns. And I play the wonderful Wacky, who uses it, its pronouns. And I feel like I may have been breaking some laws by listening to Waypoint before. So I'm
We can't legally stop you.
Okay.
We can't
legally
stop you.
This isn't like a Wizards of the Coast, you're gonna send like the literal Pinkertons after me.
We're not Americans ourselves, so we don't have access to the Pinkertons. I think that's an American thing too.
That is, yeah. Just like many, many, many guns.
I'm Luca, he, they pronouns. I play Mr. Olympic, he, him pronouns. And I'm not American, so I've been listening to Waypoint.
Yeah, you've been allowed to. Half of our podcast has always been allowed to listen to Waypoint.
Hello, I'm Mimi, they, them, and I play Ecstatic. And I've realized that we actually have an interesting ratio on this podcast with 50% Americans and 50% other Europeans, I guess.
50% of the parts that Americans can't place on a map. I mean, okay, Italy isn't that fucking hard, right?
It's I was going to say.
It's the boot.
Yeah, that's... I think I've got a 50-50 shot of Germany if the... You know, if the lines are already drawn and everything.
If the lines aren't there, there's good chances you hit France or Poland. That can happen. Just here's the trick. Go under Denmark and you're pretty safe there. Like right under Denmark. And Denmark is like another little like wang hanging off of Europe.
Okay, I was going to say, let me just make sure I know which one is Denmark real quick.
It's the one on the other side of the boot. It's the thing on the top. It's like the little tumor up there.
Okay.
Germany is that weird island that Austin Power comes from, right?
Yeah. I think
yes,
that's
exactly.
It.
Dope. All
exactly. Right. Last time, we had a little bit of an outlier. We had the Charlotte-specific episode. And what happened before that again?
We did our mission, and everything was great. We captured the bad guy. There was also a discussion about the ethics of turning the bad guy over to Doug Dreamer, who may in fact be a worse guy.
A world of bad guys and worse guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we kind of decided not to do that.
You went through a lot of plans, honestly. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I think the one you settled on is to actually do return to the mainland and basically use the Osiris pod, the captured Osiris pod, as a ticket to get at what it's meant to be used on, where it would ultimately probably end up.
And doing that both to try to get a hold Longhorn, aka Becca's records from when she was transformed, to try to help figure out how to turn her back into a human, a non-minotaur, so she can just be Becca, and also to steal Starbolt's body so that Doug Dreamer can't become immortal.
So I think that's kind of where we find ourselves again. You've been on the island, you've just sat in an abandoned and semi-destroyed mineshaft and had a good bit of conversation with a dinosaur man. What's the next step? Because you are on an island, and the submarine you arrived in is destroyed.
Call in for extraction, saying that some of us did not survive.
Yeah, because Becca and me, as Troubledore, we were not supposed to survive, right?
We can hide some people inside the Osiris pod, I think.
How big is the Osiris pod?
Huge. Ah, fucking feet.
you can use meters. I'm not that kind of American.
It's really, like, I think I said it with, like, the size of people. Like, that it's about 6 people high and 5 people wide or something like that. Like, it's really big.
How many SUVs is...
I think that's, like, a 15th of a football field, something along that. A home runs pass divided by 5 or whatever. I have no idea. It's big. It's really big. It's like a person absolutely can't carry it big.
Okay. Well, thank you for putting it in freedom units. I appreciate it.
It's like half a maple tree. Like... Shit, no, it's Canadian units.
That's okay. This episode isn't for them.
I was going to say, if Becca and I can hide in those in order to get transported over, that might be kind of cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, it can't be carried by a person unless that person has, you know, some kind of super strength.
Dang it. Okay.
And even then, like, you have 2 people with super strength in your team, and you might need both. Like, this shit's heavy.
I'm pretty sure I could carry it.
I mean, you can try. You can for sure try. So how do you want to call for extraction then?
Well, we do have communications, right?
I can imagine that at least like Mr. Olympic probably still has like some like satellite phone technology on him.
So is everybody surviving or are we gonna hide someone in the pod?
I would still I think Troubledore steps up and he's like, look, I think it sounds kind of cool if I was dead, and I feel like we're going to need some sort of, like, distraction or wild card in this, and I kind of want to volunteer to do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Anyone else?
Mr. Olympic agrees. It would be kind of cool if you were dead.
Troubledore's just in the back with, like, a thought bubble, like, you're gonna enjoy reporting that I'm dead, aren't you?
What about Longhorn?
If this doesn't work, I don't think I'm gonna be able to hide that well. So I guess it doesn't do me much good to be dead.
I think Astro Girl should also be in the pod.
Like yeah. Together.
Maybe Wacky too.
I mean, I'm going to be real. I had some, slight romantic infatuation, but having a mission with you really cleared that up, so...
Yeah, you know, that's fair.
Like, I think we can make that work.
Yeah. You know, like, all that glitters and whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
All that glitters is sometimes an asshole.
I like this girl.
So, yeah, you can definitely call in some support of some sort.
Okay, I'm going to tell them that we encountered heavier resistance than expected, that there were some gaps in the intel, that mutates had heavy weaponry, but in the end we managed to clear the place.
Okay, I would say, so you want them to send the extraction... I don't think you need to provoke someone here. Like, that seems pretty reasonable.
Okay, just give me a moment. I need to project catastrophic failure. Well, let me just think of my marriage for 5 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
Good God. Okay.
Yeah, and then you're kind of just left waiting for a little bit. As you wait for someone to show up, and that gives you time to enact your specific plan. So currently the Osiris pod is kind of wrecked. The door is broken out of its hinges, and it has been scrunched up on the side with the cables at the bottom ripped out. If you want to actually hide people in there, you're probably going to have to at least fix the door and maybe break it more so it remains closed.
Troubledore, do your Lord Nanotech, can they do something about that?
Let me see what I can do. And he kind of like he does that, like, stretches out his fingers, and he gives a snap. Let me see. I feel like this would be an Unleash My Powers, right?
Yeah. That is an Unleash Your Powers,
okay.
For sure.
Oh, no, that's a 3.
Hey. So, I'll do my favorite thing. You think it works.
Dope.
I mean, it closes again, and you do manage to go in there. So, yeah, it seems to work.
Wonderful.
I think that's my favorite GM move, like, generally, is you fail a roll and, oh, it works.
Yeah, everything's good. No worries. Anyways, Astrogirl, getting Astrogirl in there is not difficult. Astrogirl can just walk through the wall. And, yeah, basically at that point, you still have a whole bunch of, you know, the people working here. The Gene Hackman probably suggests for them to go hide or something until the whole thing is over. And he would, of course, also remain behind. And I think he'd also kind of stop at Wacky and say, so, did we make you? Or what's the thing here?
Honestly, I wish I could tell you.
I forgot about the voice. I forgot about the voice.
Are you okay being like this? Do you also want, I don't know, I genuinely don't even know what's going on here, so wouldn't know where to start, but I don't know, maybe we can help.
Honestly, let's see how it goes with Dog Dreamer.
Okay, yeah, then good luck for you. He puts one of his dinosaur hands on your shoulder and says, good, then it seems like everything is ready. I'm gonna, I guess, try to hide in a shed or something. I didn't think the whole going through doors in this state through. And he tries to go back up through the mine shafts as far as they're available, but at least enough that he's not visible when any supports arrive.
Y'all, I'm not sure about season two of The Wonderful Wacky. I think they took kind of a grimdark turn. It seemed unnecessary.
The producers decided to go in a Riverdale direction.
The Wonderful Wacky 2, now streaming on the CW. yeah, you wait at this point, basically. And what is interesting is, if you kind of look out, support arrives, and significantly sooner than would make any sense. While you're still, like, getting the last bits ready, you can already see that, yeah, a ship is approaching the shore. It has a very military touch. It looks heavily armored, more like, you know, a sort of navy ship than anything else. And it has the flag of Dreamland hanging on top of it. It doesn't have hidden flags or anything at all. And it approaches the shore and then remains basically a little bit away from it because it's probably pretty heavy and couldn't get very close because there isn't really a harbor here.
About how deep is the water, like where it is currently, like moored?
Like maybe about 30 feet, something
okay.
like that.
Okay. I'm gonna lay on my back and float on my back and just hold the Osiris pod up in the air while I just like kick with my feet and slowly swim towards it.
Like I love to make you roll for things. But I will say the Osiris pod is too heavy to do that.
Especially because aren't I in it?
Yeah, you wouldn't float.
Yeah, not only that, like, it's heavy machinery, like, to do that, like, the issue is the floating. I don't think you can float and have it on top of you.
Well, if Wacky holds Ecstatic and Ecstatic's hold the pod?
Ecstatic could help, definitely, from the outside, put some additional pull into it so it's not as much of a drag on Wacky. That could work, yeah. In that case, I'd say, yeah, sure, Wacky, roll an unleash, and if you need help, Max can help.
Cool. My freak is a +3. That was a 9 on the dice. Or sorry, a 6 on the dice, 9 total.
All right, nice.
I think it might be worth it to go to the 10 for a safe transport.
Yeah, you can help out here. And you do approach the boat with your Osiris pod. You see that there's people from the top looking down at this and seeing that, like, someone from the shore is kind of supporting it. And you see that a few of them are letting down boats. And there also appears to be like a large crane on top of the ship that is already being lowered down to sort of pick the pod up. And the people on top of the boat, from the looks of it, appear to be, like the people from, you're all from Dreamland. You know what Dreamland military looks like.
And I thought that Dreamland didn't have a military.
You know, technically, they're entertainers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously.
Their costumes, it's what they're called, not their uniforms, are distinguished by being like pastel blue. They have popped collars and like also pastel berets.
Yep.
And stuff like that. It all looks very fun. But yeah, these are Navy people. So the pod is being sort of grabbed by this big magnetic crane and being pulled up onto the ship. And yeah, ladders are being let down. There's also like metallic ladders attached to the side. And boats are being let down to pick up the rest of you. But I think Wacky would probably be the first to arrive on the boat then.
I probably need a boat myself. My hands don't close. I can't use a ladder.
I see the issue. Yeah. The rest would you board the boats? You see these Navy people approaching the shoreline.
I mean, I have no choice at this point, right?
Yeah, you're already on the boat.
Also, I was going to add all these like Dreamland military people, all minimum wage for some reason. It's just It's wild that they accepted this.
I mean, they didn't have a choice. That's the thing.
Right, they didn't have a choice. They were just that patriotic. They had to save
their
country.
Drafted. Mandatory entertainer service.
What's wild is they get a tipped minimum wage. Like I don't know where they're supposed to get the tips from.
They're officers.
You shoot someone and then ask for a tip.
Dan, it's too dark.
you all basically are allowed to approach the ship. And as you move towards the top of it, you see that these people are being led by someone who actually does wear like a superhero costume. It's like a black, slightly armored bodysuit and not much more than that. And I think, like, the Dreamland people of you would recognize that person. And especially Mr. Olympic would recognize this person. Because this crew appears to be led by Imaginite, his former wife.
Great.
Just in the background, you see Troubledore just pressing his face on the glass, like, oh my god, I need to see this. Why did I pretend I was dead?
So Imaginite, civilian name Sharon Smith, as soon as Mr. Olympic comes on board, would walk over to him and say, Mitch?
Sharon?
Guess you needed the cleanup crew.
Yes.
And here I thought I was done cleaning up after you.
Well, at least this time you'll be paid. We lost two people.
Did you lose them in the submarine already? Later on the island? Internal damages, according to the analytics? What happened there?
We didn't have proper intel. We encountered much heavier resistance than we expected. Also, one of them was not trained for combat.
I think this was supposed to be a stealth mission, right?
Yes. Well, maybe you shouldn't send a pop star on a stealth mission.
You killed the you let the pop star die?
Yes, I did.
You do know that he was like the mascot, right? You protect the mascot.
I thought Wacky was the mascot.
Wacky is a mascot. She turns around to Wacky and kind of like pulls back a little bit as she sees what happened with the kind of punched in face. And what did you do to the other mascot?
Listen, if we're gonna have this conversation, I'm gonna need a drink.
I should have known that you'd say that. She steps back and walks over to the Osiris pod and puts a hand on it. Just one more thing. What's with the gene hack man?
Oh, he's gone. Wacky took care of it.
She looks over at Wacky, and I think I'd say provoke someone, because you want to kind of stop her from continuing down that path.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think any interaction between these two is going to be a provoke.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I just made an 11. 9 on the die and superior of 2.
just, oh god, just Mr. Olympic willing that role into existence.
It's my first success on a social role.
Maybe it's just that she really doesn't want to talk to him anymore.
I think it's also like on top of that, she looks at Wacky after you said Wacky took care of it and is like, yeah, that looks accurate. And you'd see that she like raises her hand to it, and around her hand these rainbow lights sort of appear, like a sort of force field of rainbow lights right in front of her fingers that almost look like they're scanning the machine. And she seems ultimately happy with the results, because she turns around to you again and says, all right, we have a long trip in front of us. You were lucky that we were already out here, because Mr. Dreamer thought you might need a cleanup crew. Just settle down. I'm sure you've been through a lot. She seems to dedicate that one more to the others, and you feel like a little bit of softness in her voice that hasn't been here before. I hear you lost two crew members. She looks around. That's never easy, and there will be mandatory psychological evaluation when we get back, but that one is actually pretty helpful with dealing with that sort of thing. So, yeah, just settle down, deal with whatever you need to deal with.
Max steps towards her and says, actually, there's something you can help me with right now, and it's letting me stay with the pod. My future is riding on this thing, and I'm not going to have your men mess up.
This thing's pretty big. I don't think we could have really moved it anywhere anyways. So, sure, yeah, stay with it. She waves over a few of the Navy people on board to basically go into like a guarding position at the pod. I'll be in my quarters if you need me. Have a pleasant ride. You'll need some recovery.
Thanks, Ms. Knight.
She kind of seems like she wants to say something else on top of that, but then ultimately just shakes her head and moves away.
Can I establish that I've had the, like, horrifying side of my face away from everybody? I would love that to not be, like, super revealed yet.
That's fair, yeah. I mean, it's probably hard to keep it fully away. It's definitely visible that something happened, but yeah. You can definitely show off your most photogenic side. Yeah, and you're kind of left behind with all of these Navy folks up top.
Can I grab Becca?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to call Becca over. Actually, I'm going to gesture Becca over, because I don't want to like yell across the ship with my horrifying gravelly voice.
Yeah, I think during the getting on the ship and everything, Becca's just been kind of quiet and avoiding eye contact, which is, you know, certainly believable for someone who's just been traumatized on her first mission. And yeah, we'll come over to Wacky Cat when it gestures.
Becca, I just wanted to say, I am here if you need to talk about anything. I know what it's like to not be in your body anymore, or not have control over it.
I appreciate that. I didn't realize that, you know, you maybe have a kind of similar situation going on, but I guess right now I just want to focus on what we're going to do next. But it means a lot to hear that.
I'm assuming that is a comfort and support.
I was actually thinking it might have been a vulnerability or weakness.
That also works. Oh, yeah.
When you share a vulnerability or weakness with someone, ask them if they think you're losing or gaining humanity. If they say losing, you mark a condition and mark potential. If they say gaining, clear a condition and shift humanity up and any other label down.
Yeah, you can do that for sure.
And I'm like,
sometimes I don't think I even want to be normal anymore. I'd air quotes, but my fingers don't move.
Okay. I wasn't sure. At this point, I don't know what normal is anymore. You know, all the folks on the island, they were happier this way. Even though I'm not, if you figure out who you want to be and get closer to that, then I think that makes you better off than trying to be normal. If there's anything I've figured out, I think that's it.
I would give Becca a thoughtful look if my eyes could change.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I just kind of like look over at her with my one good side of the face and then my horrifying fucked up side of the face.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
you know that you're perfect however you are. Even if we can't fix this, you're amazing, Becca.
Now I think that might be a comfort and support.
Yeah, that works. That works.
And also, because Becca said I was growing into my humanity, I'm going to move mm-hmm. mundane up and actually superior down. I feel like this advice coming from someone younger than me makes me feel less like the hero on a pedestal that a lot of people in Dreamland have put me on. And I'm also going to clear angry.
Yeah, and you don't seem particularly angry right now. That works.
Mm-mm. I still feel kind of guilty, but I feel like that's kind of standard all the time. That was boxcars. That was a 12. I'm going to, since I got a 10 plus, I'm going to add a team to the pool. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to clear my last condition, because as previously stated, I like having conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Becca, if do the opening up thing or don't. You might have already done part of it, but yeah.
Let me think. Yeah, that really means a lot. Thank you. Took me a while to realize it, but I really don't want to be in the spotlight, but I don't know, if worse comes to worse, I can find my place somewhere.
I think you and I both can.
And I'm going to offer my large paddle-like hand out towards Becca.
Becca's going to be kind of unsure what to do and then reach out for like a handshake.
Aww.
Yeah, so I think despite the conversation happening here, I think Becca's kind of thinking about the mission ahead and is going to shift danger up, but also shift freak down, because she feels less freaky after that conversation.
I think that actually works really well. Also, like, you know, maybe subtly that also works in a way of like, you know, this current wacky is kind of right. This current form has benefits in some sense, higher danger, but I don't have to be an outcast with lower freak. I think that works really well.
Yeah, true. This is, you know, embracing what she can do in this form as well.
Mm. Max, you have been left alone with... Okay, not left alone. You've been left alone with a bunch of Navy people in front of the Osiris bar.
Yes.
What do you want to do?
Now, I think it would be reasonable to say that Max has the sort of metal that can be magnetized to the max on her, at least like a small piece of it.
I think all metal on you is magnetized to the max.
That's true, but there's a certain type Ayo. Of metal called neodymium that actually, like... can make a super magnet.
No, which... because like you're the max. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, so what I want to do with that is basically overload it on magnetism and stick it to the pod, and maybe use that as a way to trace the pod by just like checking out the strongest magnetic field in my surroundings.
Okay, yeah, I'd say that's something you can do. Unleash your powers is probably the most sensible here.
Yes, and I would like to tell you that if such a magnet gets too strong, it literally rips the metal that it magnetizes. Just in case this goes wrong, I guess.
Good to know.
That is freak. My freak is a minus two. Then that is exactly a seven.
Okay, unleash your powers. On a 7 to 9, mark a condition or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
I only have one condition, so I think I can take another one. And I would like...
Smart.
To know where...
Smart move.
Astro Girl and Troubledore are going.
Yeah. Of course, you had already planned to do this. Flashback to the Ocean's 11 planning sequence.
Yes, clearly.
Where you decided to do this in advance. Yeah, you attach the magnet just as you wanted, and I'd say, like, for people, like, how would that have pulled to metal around it, or is it, like, targeted?
I would say that I basically just put it into one direction, so it just basically sticks to the pod.
Okay, yeah, there's, like, a short little creaking noise as you put it against the pod. As it sort of pulls the pod towards it for a second, but you do get it on there.
I think if someone like goes by too close with something metal, it would probably react, but we'll see.
Okay.
Condition, I think insecure makes sense because I don't know if this is gonna work.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Also, like, there's Navy people around you and you're not fully sure. Maybe one of them saw you do something.
Yeah.
They have pretty good poker faces, but you don't have any idea. Anything else before you reach shore?
Well, I think Mr. Olympic would like to seek out Max. How's it looking?
Everything seems to be going fine.
That's good. You don't like me.
That's one way to put it.
I don't exactly blame you. It's hard to be around someone you have things in common with.
Listen, I don't know what you're trying to do here, but I'm perfectly willing to work with you in a team, and for that, I don't think we have to like each other or relate to each other.
Yeah, yeah, of course. How old were you when the first time you put on a costume?
Now, I actually have a move that I can employ here. That is called Cold and Cruel. When you shut someone down, roll plus superior. On a 10+, you either inflict a condition on them, make them lose influence over you, or take influence over them, your choice. On a 7 to 9, you either each inflict a condition on the other, or both lose influence over each other, your choice. On a miss, they gain influence over you.
This is gonna be a bloodbath.
That's fun. Okay, yeah, roll for that.
That is a superior, which I have a +3 on. Rolled a 9, +3, that's a 12.
Wow. Okay, the good rolls.
I'm gonna make basically like get rid of the influence that Mr. Olympic has over me,
which he only got like 2 episodes ago.
And I think like at this point I'm not even gonna give you an in anymore. I'm just going to like shut down and say no, I'm not going to listen to this guy.
Okay, so yeah, he just asked you how old you were when you first put on the costume.
I think I'm going to say old enough to realize that you don't just leave your team behind.
Yeah, sure.
Could I inject a little bit of comedy in this?
Please.
You can. Not in universe, because you are currently in the pod, but... Okay.
Never mind, then it's okay, because I was just going to crack the pod and just be like, dude, I think you beefed that one.
I mean, what I can imagine is that you used your nanobots to make like this thing that will help you listen through walls, this cone thing.
Oh, there are like little cameras following all of you right now.
And then you can just say that to Astro Girl, like, oh, I really think you beefed it.
I really think you beefed this one. Because me and Astro Girl, we're just watching it in the pod right now. We're just watching everybody interact.
Astro Girl is like movie watching experience with popcorn, just without the popcorn. Very much like, oh, dang.
Yeah, right? There were probably snacks on that last island, right?
I was really hoping this would go somewhere. And as Mr. Olympic is being dejected, Imaginite walks back up on deck and gives you the info. We're getting close to shore. Not much more. She looks at the scene in front of her and makes a heavy breath before waving over to Mr. Olympic and saying, you follow me, debrief.
Sure.
She would take you to her office equivalent. It's basically like the captain's cabin. There's like a little desk basically set up there on out of bolted metal. And she takes a seat behind it. You see that there's some pictures on the desk of her with, like, you know, famous Dreamland celebrities or at some big social gatherings, usually in like her full superhero costume, which is basically what she's wearing right now, but with like a rainbow set of force armor that she can summon that goes on top of that very subtle costume she's currently wearing. And she's taking a seat behind the desk. There is no other seat in this room. And she says, so how's the new team?
That's not a team. There's no team.
I mean, you lost two of them, but, you know.
No, we're losing three. The ecstatic, she's going to leave at the end of this mission. I'm pretty sure they're going to put down Wacky. Honestly, I think I'm going to ask Longhorn to step back. She's not made for this.
Wow. That's great first mission.
Yeah.
Why would they put a team together like this? I don't think that sort of stuff would have flown in our time.
This was a very goal-oriented thing. Mr. Dreamer needed something, and he needed it quick. So it just sent us into the meat grinder.
I see. She kind of plays with one of the picture frames on her desk and says, I mean, I remember how it was. Doing what I'm doing now is definitely preferable.
What are you doing now?
Military. The closest equivalent to military that we have. I think the last time we talked, I told you I didn't want to be a superhero anymore, but I don't think that's really what it was. I think I didn't want to be a superhero with you anymore.
I'm not sure we were ever superheroes. We were.
I'm not sure we were ever anything.
Really, Sharon?
Look, you always had your own thing going on the side. I always had my own thing going on the side. I made peace with it. You made peace with it. It's just, Dream Squad was living a lie, and I was sick of living a lie. I love doing what I do. I still love doing what I do, but I love being upfront about it, about who I am, about what kind of life I live.
Yeah. That's, must be nice.
Listen, you're saying this Dream Squad's about to fall apart, right? What's one more? Why do you still do this?
What else do they have? They won't take me back in sports. They paid me off to stop competing so that other people may have a chance. I'm not good at anything else.
I'm still doing the same thing I did before. I get paid less for it now. I get less attention. It's less flashy. I go to less galas. She kind of spins around the frame in her hand. But I've been able to move in with my girlfriend. And that was never possible when we were, and she makes quotation signs with her hands, married.
Mm.
I think if you look, you'll find something. It might not be as flashy, it might not be as great, even if it's just, I don't know, writing memoirs and going to fucking superhero conventions. Hmm. You're not stuck where you are, unless you choose to be stuck there. And I would say she's trying to shift your labels.
Okay.
I would say she probably has influence over you.
She definitely has influence.
And you can accept or reject that.
I think I'm going to accept it.
Okay. I think she would, shift up your mundane and down your superior.
Okay. So superior becomes one and mundane becomes zero.
Yeah. She brings you into very mid stats.
I honestly don't remember the last time I made a decision. I told you I was six when they started training me. I was just, turns out I was good at it, so that I had to do it. You don't hide the light under the bushel. That's what my dad said. So I was so good at it, and I kept doing it, and then I couldn't do it, and they found me something else to do. I just kept doing what they told me.
Yeah, you told me that story a couple times. Look, all of us have been superheroes, at least the people in your team, me, have been doing what we're doing right now for a long time, or felt like we didn't have any other choice. And I'm not saying that, you know, switching over to the military is the most glamorous choice. But it is something else, and I chose it. So, listen, Mitch, I don't think anything's going to be like way back when again. I don't think we're going to be friends again, even. But if you... The thing that drove me away and that made me want to do something else is that I couldn't stomach you not taking any responsibility for yourself anymore. Not to be in any way who you want to be anymore. And if you make a change to that, if you make a change to yourself, if you take control of all the horrors of the world that you feel have been placed on you and that you keep placing on yourself, then I'm happy. You have my blessing or whatever.
Well, I was thinking about making a choice, making a change, but may end up costing me a lot. Though, honestly, what do I really have anything to lose? So yeah, maybe I'll do it. Maybe.
Yeah, you know, whatever works for you. She gets up from the table again.
Sure. Just one thing.
Sure.
I think I might have wasted my life, but if there's one good thing I did was getting back out of that lab. So anything happens to me, you keep an eye on her, okay? Not for me. Just because it's the right thing to do.
Didn't you say you don't want her to be, I don't know, part of our world anymore? If she doesn't want to do what you do, maybe she doesn't want to do what I do either.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sure. Also, don't start talking like you're going to die or anything. Your mission's over. We're delivering that shit.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. You're supposed to report back to base, but I'd drop the pod off first. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, no, it's okay. Sharon, what I told you, are you going to tell anyone?
About what?
Yeah.
Yeah. She gives you a slight nod. You look out for yourself, Mitch. It's about time. You approach a harbor back on the mainland, and you can see already in the distance there's a large neon sign on top of a building which says Knight, and right beside it in smaller text, Meditech and Research Enterprises. And yeah, the ship manages to get right into this harbor. It seems to be pretty deep, to basically a loading station where a lot of cranes on shore are already ready. Prepare to get the Osiris pod off of the ship.
I'm sure we set up some sort of code word to just...
you definitely can have that.
To let all heck break loose.
You can definitely establish that. So what would happen here is basically the pod is being loaded off of the ship. And as it's like at the impasse between the water and the harbor, the door falls out of its hinges. And would drop into the water unless something happens.
I mean, I can just try to magnetize it, I guess. Is that another unleash your powers from me?
I would say that's a defend,
okay,
actually.
That's not that much better because I'm insecure, but whatever.
Oh, wow, yeah, you have a plus 3 to savior, eh?
I do. I rolled 2 fives. That's a 13 mm-hmm. minus my insecure, but, like, it's still over 10, so.
You're rolling hard today.
I do.
Must be nice.
That is a 10 plus.
I still need that one potential, so.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you have a full another bunch of arcs after this one to get that.
That's true, and, like, end of session stuff should get me there.
Yeah. Add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear condition.
I'm going to add a team to the pool. We're going to need it, I feel like.
Yeah, that brings us up to 2.
Also, I would like to inform everyone that there are 2 people who have influence over me, and these 2 people are Troubledore and Wacky.
Oh, you messed Great. Up.
You could have taken influence over Astro Girl, but I assume you already have influence over Astro Girl.
I do, yes. That was the first time I bitched at Mr. Olympic.
You managed to secure it in place exactly how you want. So it's not even like a situation where you're like, how do you want to do it? Do you want to like shut it to make sure it doesn't happen again? Like permanently magnetize it?
Yeah, I think so. I figure that both Troubledore and Astro Girl can get out if they really want to. So
Yeah, they can find a way. That works. Yeah, you secure it in place and balance out the error from earlier.
I am going to turn around to Imaginite and say, see, this is what I'm talking about. Your people mess up. Be careful with it.
We didn't break it to the point where it's falling apart. I think you could have done a slightly more careful job on that island.
I think at this point, Ecstatic just glares at her. I mean, this is kind of just this performance to try to take the attention away from the pod, actually. Like,
yeah.
It's fine.
It works. She doesn't think about it much further, as far as you can tell. And the pod does get transported over basically onto the back of a loading vehicle. And from there, it's brought into like a large warehouse connected to the building, from what you can tell. At this point, Imaginite turns around to you and says, I could get us a car and bring you back to Central. I don't think we have to move this ship any further.
Yeah, we should get in the car.
All of that happens pretty quickly. Basically, a car from that's already around here is manned for you, and you're all put inside it. Imaginite actually stays behind as you all get into the car and goes back up to you and says, I'll stay with the ship. We got to make sure that, you know, your mission actually reaches its endpoint. So, good luck. That debrief's going to be rough.
Yeah, well, I've had worse.
She looks at Mr. Olympic again, and it's almost like she opens her mouth slightly, like she wants to say another thing, but then she shuts her lips again and says, well, good luck, Mitch. And she turns around and walks back to the ship. And yeah, you have a driver here. It's basically like not even one of the Navy people. It's like someone who works at the warehouse. They're driving you over back to headquarters, which isn't that far away. You're in the same city. It's just basically like on the other end. Which is where also your mission began, where you had that interview and everything. You are brought in through like the private garage, and through an elevator ride, you are basically brought back into the mission center. And from this point, I would like to cut over to the other two real quick. After you've been moved a bit by cranes and by cars and brought into this warehouse hall, you seem to come to a stop. And you hear voices around you, but also, like, with the cameras that that Troubledore has installed, you do see that the people around are slowly leaving you alone here, basically. You can see that you've been brought into this large, basically a warehouse. You see that there's a lot of, like, mechanical equipment around you, like, mechanic equipment to assess the situation of what happened to the pod, or to repair it in any case, because it's like clearly damaged. But as far as you can tell, there's only like 2 people at the door that are guarding towards the outside.
First, I want to do criminal mind. When you assess the situation, you can always ask one of the following questions, even on a miss. And I'm going to roll it. I have a 0.
Yeah, you can definitely assess the situation here. With
I have
everything.
A 0 in superior, but I still got a 7.
Oh.
Assess the situation. I get to ask one question.
Yep. Definitely a normal one, and you get to ask your additional crime question.
Mm-hmm. If I ask, how could we best end this quickly, could I mean about, like, the whole clandestine mission in order to, like, get Doug Dreamer?
I will say the... How could we best end this quickly? Like, you're currently in a warehouse. I don't think you have the options really here to end the mission.
Okay. Well, let me ask another one. But if you want to,
you could end your, I don't know, how can you best end your imprisonment here quickly?
Yeah, let's do that.
Or something like that. Yeah, that works. And you also get to do a crime question. What are those?
What here is useful or valuable to me?
Okay. So, when you're looking around like this, you realize, like, the guards are looking outside. So getting out would currently be a possibility. The issue is with Astro Girl, that's not a problem. You would have to get out through the door, and you'd have to find a way to basically get through it, because at this point it's basically, like, been glued shut with magnetism. You can definitely use your devices and stuff like that to sort of bridge that, but you'd have to think of a way to do that. So with your nanobots, you could probably silently open it in some way by, like, putting them between and basically, like, building them up until the magnetism doesn't hold anymore.
Okay.
And what was the other question? What here is useful to you?
What here is useful or valuable to me?
The most useful or valuable thing to you is... high up, like, this warehouse doesn't have windows. It's very much like Indiana Jones 4, Ark of the Covenant kind of warehouse. Like, you see a lot of equipment around you, a lot of, like, large crates that are sealed, probably with stuff other superhero teams, Dream Squads, brought back in the past that is being stored here.
Mm-hmm.
But you do realize there's no windows, but there's got to be a way for fresh air to come in here. And that is vents. There's a lot of vents on the top of the shelves, like near the top end of this room, that you could definitely use to travel around here without being seen.
How far do the vents go? Because they had to take a car in order to get to their next spot, right?
This building is completely separate from where they are going.
Okay.
They're going to the headquarters, but Doug Dreamer is here in this building. He's just basically transmitting a signal to that other one because he doesn't want to know that people to know that he's, like, under permanent medical surveillance, basically.
Wait, so he's at my building, not theirs?
Yeah, he's at your building, oh. But he's, like, sending, like, talking through a screen with them at the other building.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Astro Girl to phase through and just, like, help me get out of here instead of using nanobots, because I kind of want to save the nanobots for... whatever's coming up.
Astro Girl can slightly help, but the issue here is that the door is shut, basically.
Oh, just magnets.
And she can't face you. Yeah, she can't face you through. What she could do is push from the other side while you pull, but there's, like, a risk there that you make some noise if you fall back or something like that because of the sudden change.
You know what? Yeah, let's have some fun. Let's take the risk.
Okay, perfect. probably the most sense would be for her to sort of unleash her powers. But I'm going to say, like, you can unleash the power of your arms in this case, because that's probably the most sensible role.
Technically, could it be engaging the threat that is this door?
I was also thinking about that, yeah.
Because okay. My danger is at a 3 right now, so that would help.
I think directly engage a threat kind of actually makes the most sense, but it's also very weird. I don't see the picks you have there working out all that great. I'm going to say unleash your powers.
Unleash powers? Gotcha. That's a 9+1. I got a 10 on unleashing my powers.
All right. And you don't have anything that pulls it down?
No, nothing.
Perfect. Okay. So with Astro Girl's help, Astro Girl pushing from the outside and you pulling from the inside, you manage to loosen the lock, basically, and get the door away from the entrance again. So you can quietly set it down and move out into this room. And Astro Girl is also, like, putting a finger in front of her mouth, urging you to be very quiet. And, yeah, looking kind of around at what's spread out here while you do what you do.
I think I get out and I immediately start looking around and I understand it's, like, the Indiana Jones Ark of the Covenant room.
Mm.
And I just, like, I grab a bag and I just start stuffing it with stuff I don't understand how to use. And then,
okay, like... like, the stuff that's laying outside is mainly, like, mechanical equipment to, like, you know, fix whatever is here or to, like, appraise it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You could, if you want to, try to break open one of the crates.
Oh.
There are two guards in ear's reach, but, you know, you think your option's through.
Jules, at what point do you think I'm not going to take that as trouble door?
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, either get away scot-free or get into trouble. I'm always going to choose the trouble option. Let's open up some crates.
Yeah, sure. Is there even a role for that? Like, you're trying to do that as quietly as possible, I guess. I think what's going to happen is, as soon as you start doing that, Astro Girl's going to turn around to you and look kind of panicked and run up to you and whisper under her breath, "What are you doing?"
"I don't know. There might be something cool in here to help us out. Also, like, I mean, like, if you see all those vents, we can use that stuff to move around. We're probably going to need more things in order to do whatever we need to do here, right?"
I think we're just trying to, like, I don't know, destroy the body of a dead superhero or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah, but like, okay, how are we going to do that? You got phasing powers. Like, I got nanobots.
I don't know. Like, corpses can't take that much, right?
Okay, like from fists? From like one non-murderer to another, like, we gotta think a little
he's
bit more.
He's dead already. He's dead already.
I mean, but like, I don't know. There's like, he's probably connected to the internet or like, I don't know. Okay, there might be something cool in here. Let me just open this, like, six boxes. And then
I'm going to say roll a provoke someone.
Okay.
to get her to let you do that.
Oh, that's going to be plus superior. Mm-hmm. Aw, man, I got a 0 on that. I got a 6.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, how much team do we have? We have 2 team right now.
We have 2 team, and I'm going to say she's not going to support you in this.
That's
so
okay.
You're going to have to use that selfishly.
Yeah, that's okay, because my move, team what team, when you use team selfishly, clear condition or mark potential. The first time in the session you use team to help a teammate, take +1 forward. So I'm going to take some potential on this.
Okay, yeah. What's the normal thing that happens when you use team selfishly? I rarely see that.
What is the normal thing?
You have to explain how it hurts somebody else in your team. And then you actually shift your label up and label down as opposed to...
somebody else doing it?
It's instead of like adding a number to the pool, in this case for Provoke, you would move your superior up one and then another label down.
Yeah, so you can actually have a higher roll because your superior is now higher.
Okay. So, superior is up now. I'm going to move danger down.
The actual text said how your actions ignore or insult your teammates, and I think that is pretty fitting here.
That is not hard to explain in this, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts Astro Girl directly. I just think it hurts whatever everybody else is trying to do right now.
I think it hurts you also.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly. You start prying open that thing, and Astro Girl kind of can't stop you from it. And just sort of takes a step back, I guess.
Oh, okay. So, Jules, this is up for you. So, on a 7 and 9, they can instead choose 1. So, they stumble, you take +1 forward against them. Mm-hmm. They err, you gain a critical opportunity. Or they overreact, you gain influence over them.
I'm going to say... I think stumble is what makes the most sense here. Mm-hmm. In this situation. Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe your plan could work. Basically, the critical opportunity you gain is she basically lets you be and lets you do that while she's trying to look around for, like, a vent that you can climb up to.
Yeah, I'm just like, I was like, I don't know, like, find, like, a ladder or something. Or, like, find, like, because I got to get up there, too. I don't know if you can fly. You could probably fly. I don't know how phasing works. Whatever.
I can walk through walls. I don't think I can phase upwards. I've never tried.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's an idea, right? Okay, but, like... I'm gonna go rifle through this stuff, and then we can just, like, complete the mission, and maybe we can get some cool stuff out of it.
All right. She takes a step back and looks around and tries to find, like, a shelf that you can pretty easily get up or something. And I think you definitely managed to, like, open up one of those crates.
Okay.
that you have to deal with here. And... I don't think there's a way of, like, opening up a nailed-down crate without making some noise. But you don't make that much noise as you open it up. And you look inside, and inside there is, like, a spear and a shield that have, like, runic inscriptions on them and stuff like that. and like Celtic symbols. And yeah, I mean, it looks like it's some sort of like magical, powerful sort of weapons that you found in there.
Oh, 100% taking them.
Yeah, you pick those out as Astro Girl tries to find a way up. And as you do so, you hear a voice coming from the entrance. And it's someone walking inside of the warehouse who appears to be addressing you and saying, "Well, well, well, I thought I'd have to wait until our next show to make your acquaintance again." And you see John Johnson of the John Johnson Show walking into the warehouse.
Oh, no.
Wow, you're already back, and here I thought you were at a briefing first. And he points upwards and says, "Smile for the camera, my stars." And yeah, there's obviously security cameras here.
Oh no. Hey, John Johnson from the John Johnson Show. Did we already know that he is a robot? Like, do we know that he's a robot?
He definitely turned off after talking to you.
Oh. I think I look at Astro Girl, and Astro Girl looks at me and I'm like, "Hey, I think it's time to go. Let's probably climb through vents and stuff."
Oh, I think it's a little bit late to go. And he looks directly at you and raises a hand towards you. And you see that, like, the hand moves apart into separate mechanical parts and starts stripping bare the arm beneath it, made of, like, shining, darkened metal. And you see his arm reconfigure itself into, like, some massive EMP-looking gun pointed towards you. And he says, "I'm afraid there won't be another John Johnson show with you as guest stars. It seems the new Dream Squad has been cancelled." And as he says that, through the door behind him, other John Johnsons run into the room, all of them in combat mode with glowing eyes.
Oh, God!
And he says, "Say goodbye to the audience." And that's where we'll end this episode.
No! Jules!
Hey, at least you have a spear and a shield now.
To defend
yourself.
Yeah, you just gave a computer nerd hand weapons. Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Listen, you can just summon your band members and give them the weapons.
Oh, I already have a really cool scene like Perfect. Set up in my head for the next one. So,
yeah, and I do like this theme of you coming on this podcast and just stealing shit. I really like that.
Just stealing magical items and shit like that.
Oh yeah, no, I think it's that. Didn't I? Yeah, the last time I was on here as Takanji.
Yeah, all the superhero equipment.
Yeah, I stole superhero equipment that you guys made me give back.
You stole the squirrel wand.
Well, we'll see if you have to give this one back. Maybe you can change your theming to whatever these magical weapons are.
Yeah, at least
for the future.
At least Waypoint owns Troubledore anyway, right? Like Troubledore's Troubledore's in the universe for you, so that's your problem now.
That's our problem. Yeah, absolutely. I will have this ending be real quick. If you want to find any of our amazing guests, you can figure out where in like pretty much every other episode we've done of this podcast right at the end. If you want to find us, which is also a pretty good way to find them because we do tag them, you can go to Waypoint Pod on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, TikTok. We'll see if we also go on any of the other platforms. I don't have an invite to the one and I don't want to do the other one that's also Facebook. We'll see.
Yeah.
And until next time, when maybe the finale happens, maybe not, we'll see. Definitely something big is going to happen. I will say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.